You are a great God, and you are a God that is bigger than our problems. You are a great God, and you are bigger than anything that we will face in this earth. No matter what the world throws, no matter what Satan devises, no matter what darts he throws at us, God, you are greater than it all. And Father, if we would truly take those words and we would remove them from our head and put them in our heart, man, what a joyous day that would be. And Father, what a day it would be as a beginning of maybe a revival in our homes and in our towns and cities and in our nation. God, we thank you for all that you do in us and through us, for it is you that gets the glory and the praise. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated this morning. As we begin our time together this morning, we haven't got back into our book study yet because I wanted to give you a message this morning that I am going to break all protocols, surprising, right? Break all protocols of hermeneutics. And if that word is unfamiliar to you, hermeneutics is what they teach you in school, is that when you go to preach a message, you start with a main point. Then you go to point one, ABC, point two, ABC, point three, ABC. That's good hermeneutics. You ain't going to see that today, okay? Because this message comes from 30 years. This message comes from a time frame of how I picture and how I see how far our nation and our church is, not just church here, churches period, have fallen and compromised into a worldly system. You see, we need to understand that there is only one true freedom that we have. You turn your Bibles to John chapter 8, 31, we're going to get there. But when we look at this, we need to understand that, and I'm going to share this illustration with you. I had an opportunity to, you know, every day I have an opportunity to talk to somebody, and whether they want it or not. But anyway, that's beside the point. I have an opportunity in the hospital as a chaplain to talk to a lot of young nurses. And I have more of a ministry with some of them and staff than I do probably some of the patients. And so we were talking, and this one individual, he was saying about how he feels he has a right to choose right and wrong. And he had a nice pen sitting right in front of him. So I took it, put it in my pocket. He says, that's my pen. Yeah. You can't take it. Why? I believe my right and wrong says I have a right to that pen. He says, no, you don't. I said, well, why don't I? You're the one who told me that right and wrong comes from your mindset. My mindset says I'm right. And you're wrong. It's my pen. Possession is 9/10 of the law. I had 10 minutes, 15 minutes we were going at it. And finally I said, listen, the problem is you don't have a foundation of truth to pull from. I gave him his pen back. I don't want you to think I'm a thief, okay? I did give him his pen back. But I try to illustrate to him, the problem is we're living in a world where everybody thinks they're right. There's no foundation of truth to pull from, and I thank God we have a foundation of his word, the truth. This is the truth. This is the truth that brings freedom. This is the truth that allows you and I to say, you know what? I'm coming to you not because I say so or I think so, but what does God say? What truth can we pull from God? And so when we look at this morning, we need to sort of set the context of this. And setting the context of this, by the way, if you use that same illustration I used, make sure you stand at least 6 feet back. Arm reach, okay? You may get nailed. But anyway, some of this, setting the stage in the context of this. First of all, a message, a word. Freedom is not a gift bestowed upon us by other men, but a right that belongs to us by the laws of God and nature. And that was quoted by Ben Franklin. You see, we look at today, and listen, by no means, I am unbelievably grateful for the men and women who have fought for freedom. But those men and women didn't just give us the freedom that only God can give. And so we look at today, the Independence Day, the day that we signed the Declaration, the day that we broke ties. And when you look at this, we still live in a world where man thinks that they can determine the right and wrong, and they can determine the level of freedom. And we live in a world, in a nation today, that is telling you what your freedom is. And they're telling you what you are allowed and not allowed to do because of the positions they hold. But what they forget is that you and I serve a God who holds their heart and runs their life. And yet we still fall prey to that understanding. Listen, we live in a world, we got to survive in a world, right? And we're going to have some of those bumps and bruises. We're going to have some of those issues that we've gone through in our world. And so when you look at ministry and you look at where we were, and I, again, my concept of 30 years ago, I don't know how old you, why you guys or how you all got that old, but I didn't. 30 years ago, there's a lot happened. And I could probably safely say that there have been four different churches in my 30 years of ministry right here. Because the dynamics change. The people change. People come. People go. Some go home to be with the Lord. Some stay. And there's probably maybe, I could probably count on one hand, the people who were here when I started. Like Dorothy, Bill, or not Bill, I'm sorry, Bud and Barb. I'm not sure if there's anybody else. Linda, Kathy, Jim. There's very few people that were here 30 years ago when I started. So the church has changed. It's evolved into, I pray, God's people. You see, we need to understand as we look at this and we look at this freedom that God's going to give, we need to understand that it's not a gift given by men, although they think so, because they so rightfully think they can take it away. This kind of freedom only comes from God. And it's one that we need to understand. Setting the context of this morning, we need to understand a little bit because I'm diving right into a main text here. And we need to get a little bit of a background in it. So first of all, we realize that Christ was speaking to the Pharisees and the multitude. We know that from the beginning part of the chapter. We're diving all the way back into verse 31, where the first prior verses. In fact, just prior to this chapter, Christ was dealing with the adulterous woman that was brought to him. And we studied that not long ago, and we realized that when those Pharisees tried to trap Christ by bringing an adulterous woman to him and saying, what should we do with her? I love this. Christ began to write in the sand. You know what? I, Orndorffology, can't prove this. I think he started writing some of the sins of the people right in front of him. They all left. They left. There was nobody left standing but who? Her. And he said, go sin no more. You're forgiven. Isn't that amazing? So that sort of starts where we're at here. The Pharisees were trying to trap Christ. The Pharisees were going after him. They were trying to get him into a point to where they could catch him in some of his phrases or his words. But it goes on through that text as he was speaking to them that they asked him, who are you in verse 25? Verse 25 of chapter 8 says, then they said unto him, who art thou? And Jesus said unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. So, what did he say to them in the beginning? Well, the next thing we find is he says, I am the light of the world in verse 1 of chapter 20, or chapter 8. Verse 1 simply says, Jesus went into the Mount of Olives and began to speak to this. But then we find, as we look at, he says, I am the light of the world in verse 12. And he says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but have light of life. He says, why are you asking me that? I already told you I am the light of the world. I am the one that if you come to me, I will light up the darkness that you live in. Folks, it hasn't changed. We still serve a God who is the light of the world. Psalm says that the scriptures are a lamp unto our path. They're a light unto the things that God says, this is right and this is wrong. And the problem with the world and with where churches have been followed and behind is the fact that we're muddying the waters of our foundational truth. Because, you ever hear the word gray areas? There are no gray areas in scripture. Gray happens when you mix a little bit too much of the world with the too much of the purity white of God, and you mix gray, you get gray when you mix black and white. So when you look at that, it's not there's gray areas in the scriptures. It's there's gray areas in the scriptures because I want to compromise my truth a little bit. So if anybody says, hey, what about this gray area? You already know they're compromising something. So we're not to compromise. One of the problems why we are where we are today is because we have muddied the foundation of our truth. And we need to be careful. We need to go back. And again, I love going back to the basics because I can't go much further than that. I love the basics. We have made it too difficult to live a godly life. Not because we don't have the power of God, not because we don't have God. It's because we are dicing it down way too much. We are trying to figure out, we are arguing the scriptures. We are dicing the scriptures. We are separating from those who don't have the same thing we have. Listen, you know what the opposite of truth is? Opinion. That's the opposite of truth, opinion. Some may say a lie. Well, most of the time your opinion can be a lie if it doesn't have a foundational truth to pull from. And so I saw this the other day. It was kind of cute. You have every right to have an opinion, but you have no right to tell me what mine is. And another problem of our world today. If you don't agree with me, you're wrong. Well, I want to know where you're talking. I want to know where your truth comes from. And maybe we'll agree, maybe we won't. You see, again, where is the foundation of truth that you're pulling from? You see, when we see this and he begins to speak this, he says, I am the light of the world. I already told you that when they ask him that question in verse 25 of chapter 8. The next thing we find him saying is they did not understand in verse 27. He tells them, verse 26, I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. Every word that came out of Christ's mouth was the word that his Father spoke to him. How you all doing with that? Man, that nailed me right between the eyes. It's like, oh man, every word, well, I probably lost it within the first two sentences of the morning. Now, I'm not sure. Of course, you guys are much more better. You're better at that, right? You're all looking at me like, oh, I didn't do that. Oh yeah, you did. Anyway, when we look at life and we look at what Christ has said in that verse, I do nothing. I speak nothing to the world except those things that my Father gave me to speak. Listen, that's someone, and again, yes, he was God, 100% God. Yes, he was 100% man. And, you know, when he in Philippians voluntarily, the kenosis, voluntarily gave up the use of the attributes that he had as God, he put himself, voluntarily, put himself in a position where he understood what you and I go through. That's why Scripture says that he suffered and he was tempted as we are, yet he was with no sin. And so he understood the deals that we go through. He understood life. And yet he spoke everything and only what God would speak. Listen, that's a tall order of what a biblical person or a biblical character of his children need to have. And so when we see that listed there, he listed it himself. And again, we're just setting the stage for getting into these verses. The cross will make the difference. Look at verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. Listen, I want to take the example of Christ, because we are his ambassadors, correct? Scripture says we are his example. We are his ambassadors. We are his voice. As I shared earlier, how much of a responsibility and a privilege to be able to speak for those who don't have voices in the unborn children. Listen, we need to understand that the voice we have to speak Christ has been given to us by the same God who gave it to his Son. And we need to speak those words. We need to talk about those things. You know what? One of the greatest tools of Satan is just keep them busy. Oh, none of you are busy, right? None of you have got 500 things you're thinking about right now. When Satan decided to open up, and listen, we fall right into it. Everything's open every 24/7, you know. We got all this busyness. We got convenience. Whenever you have time, we're here to serve you. And you know how that has infiltrated into the church and into the minds of God's children? God, you're available 24/7. whenever I need you, I will call. And it's amazing how easy things overlap from our world to our spiritual world. And we have to understand, it's still true. The cross will make the difference. The cross has made the difference since Christ hung on it, crucified, and rose again. You see, we celebrate today a day that a piece of paper was signed by men of importance. The cross is my statue of liberty because I have a Christ who signed that document in blood. And he has redeemed me. He has bought me. He has brought me back to the fold, his fold. And I am a child of God. I am redeemed. I am blessed more than I deserve. Simply because why? Because he loved me. He loves us. He loves us to the point where he does that. The cross will make the difference. The problem is we've stopped going to the cross. We've stopped going to that bloodstained cross and kneeling at it and crying at it and pouring our heart out in it. And we go there and we think, okay, God, here's my list. Here's my grocery list. God, this is what I think you need to do. God, this is what I want you to do. And I'd really like to have it done yesterday. Instead of going to God and just remaining quiet for a while. When Moses approached the burning bush, he took his shoes off. When we approach the cross, we stand in demand. Come a long way, haven't we? Big difference in what we used to have, what we used to be from the realms of the world. So as we see this and look, understand this, again, many believed on him. Verse 30, as he spake these words, many believed on him. Pretty simple, pretty basic. Now we're going to get into, now here is what Christ is going to teach. We're just warming up to start the message. Christ now shares the requirements of true freedom. These are the requirements of true freedom. And I didn't do a point one, A, B, B, B. I want them all in a list because I want you to copy these down. I want you to understand this is the basic of true freedom. This is the basic of truth that we need to get back to, that we need to pull our life out of. We need to pull our standards out of. We need to pull our convictions out of. Shame on someone who's saved who lives by their preference. You might as well say, I'm going to live by my opinion. You don't live by preference. Preference is something that you agree to until it costs you something. Conviction? You'll die for that. You'll die for that conviction. And so the difference is very clear between conviction and preference. We need to live our convictions from the foundation of truth, the Word of God. And this is how Christ said it happens. And so again, interesting, as he ended this section that we just highlighted a little bit, speaking to them, some believed, some didn't believe. And even as you know the story of Christ, those who believed here still walked away from him. You want to know why some walked away from him? Because all they had was a head knowledge of a Christ who could feed them when they had nothing, who could heal them when they had ailments, who could do things for them. A head knowledge of God will be sure to put you in hell like everyone else who doesn't know him. You see, many of them believed, but yet many of them walked away from verse 30, follow the scriptures. And so you understand that, yes, you can know God, and yes, you can even believe that God exists. But listen, if you don't surrender your heart and life over to God, as Romans 10, 9, and 10 states, with the mouth, confession was made, with the heart, believe that Christ raised his son from the dead. If you don't come to a point where you cry out to God and say, God, man, I need you bad. I am a lost sinner. I am someone who needs you. Until you do that. Just right here. And many people will walk away from that. Why? Listen, how do we know? How do I know that's true? Because when life hurts, those who know God here walk away and never come back. You may know somebody. You may know people that walk away but never come back. And it's because the 18 inches, I used to have a track, missing heaven by 18 inches, the head to the heart. Many people, and listen, we have churches full. We have pulpits full of those people who believe in a God but have never surrendered their life to Him. That's how far we've come in 30 years. That's how far we've come in a walk with God. Because we are so eager to value our life looking at other people than we are looking at the standard of Christ. When you look at the standard of Christ, every one of us falls short. If not, Scripture's wrong, that all fall short and come to the glory of God. All of us would make it, right? I think you're all good people. Depends what day of the week it is, maybe. I don't know. We would all make it on how good we are if God didn't say, you're going to fall short unless you come to me the way I have asked you to come. It's not a denominational belief. It's not a church belief. It's not a preacher's belief. God says, you come to me through my Son. That's it. Get back to the basics. Don't dice it all down. As we see that understanding, and by the way, it is our standard of belief here. You don't go to heaven without Christ. First thing we realize, they believed on Him. As I just shared, how we believe on Him. Listen, it's not just a knowledge of God. Satan believes in God in James, and he trembles. We have a world that knows God and even believe God exists, and they laugh. We've gone from trembling to laughing at the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We need to know, first step in true freedom is believing on Jesus Christ. Because nobody can take what only you can give. And even at that, once that salvation is there, I truly believe you can never be plucked from the Father's hand as Christ said so in the Scriptures. No man can pluck you from my Father's hand. That includes you yourself. You can't do something that outdoes God's grace. You can't do something that God's blood on that document did not give you the freedom for. Man, once you sign into God's family, you're there. And that's a hope and a glorious grace defined by our God. The second thing we see is if you continue in my word. Verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews which believe on him, if ye continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. Continue in my word. Folks, that is the foundation of our truth. That is the only difference between you and I and a world out there that thinks they're right. Listen, have you been right every day of your life? Please shake your head no. Yeah, no, man. There's no way we've been right every day of our life. It's impossible. But yet the world thinks, listen, it's right because I think it's right. When we realize if we continue in his word, listen, that's a requirement. That's a requirement of true freedom. Because you know what's going to happen? You still got a mind that is tainted by the sinfulness of this world. You still have a nature within you that wars. And I'm going to tell you what. I don't know about your life, and you can be as transparent as you want to be, but I got a battle raging in me every day. A battle that says, you don't have to do that. You don't need to go, you don't need to do that. A battle that rages. A song by Steve Green I love. One of these days I may sing it, I don't know. They don't know where I go when I go down. They don't know who lifts me up when no one is around. Because deep inside this armor, this warrior is still a child. Listen, we've got to understand that the battle is raging. The only way we will convert back to we'll convert back to the thinking that we're right if we do not stand firm on the Word of God. It's that quick. If you don't keep the Word of God straight and center, you'll revert back. You'll boot back. I mean, our bodies are in the negative and the sinfulness. When we were conceived in the womb, we have that sinful nature. We will root back into that concept. We got to keep the Word of God true in our lives. The third thing we find, then you will be my disciple. Just think of that for a moment. How many people, now again, a disciple is what? A follower after. A disciple is someone who follows after. So Christ is saying, if you want to follow after me, there's a couple things you need to worry about. There's a couple things you got to do. First of all, you got to make sure you are my disciple. You got to believe. Second thing is you got to stay in my word. That's when you're going to know truth. That's when you're going to understand how I did, what I did, and why I did, to the best of our abilities. And God doesn't always give us the answers, does he? He doesn't tell us all those things. Why? Because if we knew everything, we wouldn't need him. God says, trust me. That's the hardest thing for us to do, isn't it? To the Lord, let go and just trust him. You will be my disciple if you believe on me and stay in my word. And I like the way it's worded in there. Then you are my disciple indeed. Man, there's no question. There's no question you're one of God's disciples. When's the last time somebody come up to you and says, boy, you know what? I see something in you. You must be a child of God. Maybe you're praying at the dinner table in the restaurant. Maybe you're doing something that gives them a little bit of a spark. In fact, I went into a room and this guy said to me, he says, and he read my badge. He said, oh, you're a chaplain. He said, I never would have guessed that. I'm like, man. I said, why do you say that? He said, because you look too professional. I'm like, ah, all right. Take the tie, rip the tie, you know. But when you look at how people look at your life and what they say, do they understand that you are a disciple of God? You see, they won't understand and want your truth until they know who you are. Do you actually believe your truth? The last four thing there, you will know the truth. Verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and then the truth will make you free. You shall know the truth. You'll know the truth. There'll be no, oh boy, I wonder what God, what would Jesus do? You know that phrase is a great phrase, but it's also a crutch. Why are you questioning what Jesus would do? Why don't you know? You should just say, you know, I know what Jesus would do. And then follow it. Then listen to it. Listen to what he's giving you. Listen to what he's saying to you. Because listen, if we know the truth, what is the final result of knowing that truth of God? The truth will make us free. That's true freedom. That's the freedom that allows us to get up in the morning when everything else falls apart. That's the truth that allows us to get up and say, you know what? I am going to smile and praise God no matter what today. Listen, God gives you the moment you're in and nothing else. If you can't enjoy the moment you're in, don't expect them to give you the next day. We got way too much negative drama in churches today. Way too much drama. It's like, you know what, God, if you are the great God I sing about, if you are the great God that I believe in, if you are the great God that I'm following, I can't see you being a part of this issue. I can't see you in the circle talking about this drama. I can't see you in the midst of this. What I do see is you walking into it and say, who y'all belong to? Who do you serve? And then everybody, as they did with the adulterous woman, everybody starts walking away. Because why? Because Christ just very nicely said, who do you believe in? Do you realize how much of a light and a spark that you and I could make in this community and in this vicinity if we would actually live the truth that we're freed in? If we could simply say, you know what, God, it doesn't matter what my day holds. I'm still going to look to you. It doesn't matter how much stress and burden are on my shoulders. God, you carried everything on the cross. I just need to come to the cross for you. We walk away from the cross. Listen, if you're like me, you want to go back 30 seconds after. Just trip yourself. Do something. Just don't get hurt. Do something that you don't go back to the cross. Because when you and I go back to the cross, what we do is we pick it back up and say, God, I don't trust you with this one. And man, is he not worthy of our trust? Is he not worthy of everything we have? And we get all jammed up in our minds. And when our minds get all confused and they short circuit and we don't know what is right and wrong, and we don't know who to believe and not believe, and we don't know what they're saying is real or unreal. In fact, we're coming into a day and age, we don't even know if the only one speaking it is real. There's a time coming when you're not going to know if you're speaking to a robot or a person. And as we see how man is trying to advance, just like the Tower of Babel. Listen, the Tower of Babel is no different than what we see going on in our world today. They're doing all they can. Maybe not Tower of Babel was to reach God. In our day and age, our Tower of Babel that we face today is they're trying to outdo God. Well, we can take everything and we can make this happen and we can change this person into this person and we can change this situation into this situation and we can just do away with them humans anyway. They're all a bunch of emotional drama people anyway. Let's get rid of them and we'll have a robot that takes their place and there we'll have the intelligence. I'd rather know my God. I would rather live for my God. You see, when we look at this requirements of true freedom, I'm afraid in the 30 years of my ministry, I have seen God's children go back into bondage. I have seen in my life, and I've seen in all of our lives, I've seen us going back into that bondage. Why? Because we're worried, because we fret, because we're afraid. Because we have all kind of issues and struggles and dramas and things that, listen, God said, why? Who do you belong to? I thought I freed you from all that stuff. Man, we jump right back into it, don't we? Because of a decision we made. Because of something in our past. Listen, Satan has a way to use the demons of your past to mess up your present. You got to realize that when the demons of your past come up, all you got to do is say, you know what? I'm forgiven, redeemed, see ya. But why do we draw on it? Why do we just sit there and think on it and oh, I can't do this. Listen. I told my children growing up, play Cinderella. The shoe fits, wear it. If not, get rid of it. Just why do you carry it? Why is it bother? Why are you still in the midst of the Seth? Or thought you were free from that. I think this list is very clear to you and me about how true freedom comes to us from a loving God. What do we take away from this morning? How can we apply this to our everyday life? Well, first of all, we need to realize that are we listening to Him like we believe Him? Do you know how basic that is? Have you ever, at any time in your life, been crazy enough to laugh at your father? I think everybody does it at least once. After that, I'm not sure. Do you believe what he says he'll do? He'll do. Do you believe that he says he'll carry you? He'll carry you. Do you believe he says he'll be with you? He'll be with you. In that text that we saw in chapter 8, one of the verses we did not read is Christ himself said, my Father is with me always. God never left him on the cross. God never left him in the Garden of Gethsemane. God never left him. God was with him. It's amazing. Now God is with us every day. Do you really listen to him like we believe him? Second one, are we living for him as one of his? Can people know? Can people see? Can people understand where your foundation of truth comes from? You're living a life because why? Because God said this is what it's supposed to look like. You're making decisions because God said this is the best way to do this. You're going places or not going places. You're doing things or you're not doing things. Not because somebody stood behind a pulpit and said you shouldn't do that. That's legalism. That's Bible thumping. But when you study the Word of God and you realize between you and God, there are things that you do and you don't do because the Spirit of God says, you're one of mine. Now, as long as I'm here, you'll hear from the pulpit things that God says do and don't do because that's preaching the truth. But it's not because of what I say. It's not because of the church you attend. It's not because of the denomination. It's not because of anything. What? It's because we pull our truth from the true foundation of Jesus Christ. That's why we say what we say. That's why we do what we do. Are we living for him as one of his? The last thought this morning, are we loving the people of this world enough to share the truth about them? My heart today is that it stirs you a little bit to realize how many decisions, how many conversations are away from the foundation of your truth? I hope it stirs us to say, you know what? There's a God that's worthy. He gave us true freedom from all of this mess, all of the evil of this world. We're freed from. We don't have to worry. We don't have to fear of it. Timothy says that we have not been given the fear or the spirit of fear, but the power of God. Man, tap into the power of God, not this fear of the world. And I'm going to tell you what. You know what's going to happen? Y'all may smile at me a little bit more. That's one thing. I think you're going to live a life that's a little bit more joyful. I think you're going to get your eyes off all the craziness of this world. You're going to get your eyes off all the craziness of your past. You're going to get all the things that are so easily besetting you. Hebrews chapter 12 says that we are to run the race without all that stuff so that those things that easily beset us are gone. So that why? So that we can finish. We can finish the race. God has placed each one of us in a race. Has nothing to do with age. Has nothing to do with position of service. Has nothing to do with anything except God says, I need you to be here right now. Run your race well. I need you to be talking to this person right now. Run your race well. I need you to be doing and doing whatever it is you do. God says, I have this for you. Run your race well. I'm going to tell you what, you're going to find that you have people coming to you and talking to you because they see you now belong to someone bigger and better than what they're facing. Listen, when that's catchy. That's catchy. And my heart today is that we continue as we, you know, best foot forward, we continue to do all we do, continue to do what we do for God. But as we do that, my fear is that we've allowed too much of the worldly fear, the worldly philosophy, the worldly way of understanding to creep in and muddy our foundation of truth. And my prayer is we get back to the foundation of truth. If the Bible says it, I believe it. Period. And then I will live it. That's the key. That's the key. That makes a difference in our world. Let's pray. God, we come to you this morning. We thank you for how you have blessed us in so many ways. And God, we can't help but think, but just to look among, we don't even have to go outside of the church today and question how long and how much are you going to put up with. And Father, I pray that as we know the word, we know the scriptures, you promised your prophets that there will always be a remnant of faithful people. God, I pray that our desire is to stay in the remnant, stay in the faithful. No matter the cost, no matter what it looks like, what happens, God, that we will stay faithful to your truth and to your truth alone. When our thoughts and our minds don't agree or understand, may we never compromise. May we go and study more and find what your truth truly is. God, we thank you for how you work. Thank you for the wisdom and the strength you give us. And Father, all of the acclamations, all of the gratitude simply needs to be handed back to you. God, we thank you. We thank you for using us in your plan. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.